Thinking Sideways is not supported by Cracked.com. Instead, it's supported by the generous donations of our listeners on Patreon. Visit patreon.com/thinkingsideways to learn more. And thanks.
Thinking Sideways.
I don't understand.
Does not compute.
You never know. What?
Stories of things we simply don't know the answer to.
Hey there. Welcome to another episode of Thinking Sideways. I'm Joe, joined as always by
Devin
and
Steve.
And this week we're going to talk about another cool mystery. This is, of course, the last of our summer series where we talk about mysteries that are kind of crappy. Not really. Actually, this is actually a pretty good little mystery, but it's a little bit thin. We are going to debate it a little bit, and we might have a few insights for you. Who knows? Okay, what we're talking about this week is the disappearance of Brandon Swanson. He was a resident of Marshall, Minnesota, disappeared in 2008. I first came across the mystery in Cracked.com. It was an article about phone call mysteries, and I really can't top their introduction, which is great, so I'm going to quote it here. In 2008, 19-year-old college student Brandon Swanson was driving home after a night out when he crashed into a ditch on a gravel road in middle of fucking nowhere, Minnesota. He knew as well as us that this was a classic horror movie setup, so he called his parents and asked for a ride, unquote. Thanks, Crack.com. I really appreciate the heads up on this mystery.
You're the best.
Yeah, they are. They actually come up with some really good stuff. I love Cracked. I should also give a shout-out to Dustin and Diana, who suggested this as well.
Everybody
and
did.
I think a lot of other people have, too.
We just sometimes stop.
After two
writing.
Or three?
Yeah.
The list of names is actually bigger than the description of the mystery.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and there's only so much room in the spreadsheet, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so all the
Turns
rest
out
of
there
you...
is a finite number of rows and columns that you can have on a spreadsheet.
Yeah, this is a very popular mystery. You know, I talked to a local Minnesota reporter about this last week, and... She said her third and fourth most clicked on articles are articles about Brandon Swanson.
I believe it.
And she says it's really strange too because she says it'll go along and nothing will happen, and all of a sudden just the clicks just shoot up, bam. And I just said
flurry
you know,
of activity.
Well,
I can tell you what happens.
I know what happened is that Generation Y or maybe Reddit or somebody posted something about it, and then bam, your clicks are going to go way
it's
the hell up.
It's always Reddit.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
like ours.
Yeah,
so you promised to link to one of our articles for her, did you?
actually, I did. I said, and she actually wants me to let her know when it's going to go up.
Oh, okay.
And she said she might even do another article about it.
Ooh.
There you go.
So who knows? I mean, yeah. I mean.
All right. So let's talk about Brandon.
Not enough about us. As the song says, I'm going back to the start. Brandon was 19 when he disappeared. He lived with his parents and his sister in Marshall, Minnesota, and he had just finished his first year of college. He was celebrating with some friends in the tiny town of Lynd, which is about 6 miles southwest of Marshall, Minnesota. He left Lynd around 10 to 10:30 to go to the town of Canby, which is somewhat north of there, for another party. So just briefly, if you're near a computer and a browser, get into Google Maps and find Marshall, Minnesota, and then zoom out a little bit, and you'll see that Marshall is connected to the town of Canby by State Highway 68. It's about...
Straight line.
Yeah, pretty much straight line. Yeah, it's to the northwest. So if you can see the town, if you can see the towns of Canby and Marshall and Lynd, then that gives you a great geographic reference for this whole thing. And if you're not near a computer, well, you know, go look it up as soon
when
as
you get one. Yeah.
But it's really helpful to be able to see this.
It is.
Because this is a bit of a geographic mystery. As I said, Brandon hung out at the party at Canby for a bit, and he left around midnight or maybe 12:30. Nobody's entirely sure exactly when he left. The date was Wednesday, May 14th, 2008. At that party, he had a shot of whiskey, and he'd also... have been drinking a bit at the party in Lynd.
But he wasn't blind drunk or anything.
No, nobody reported that he was smashed. Although, of course, on the other hand, if he was smashed, everybody would be saying, oh, no, he wasn't, because nobody wants to be liable.
It's true.
So who knows? But I should mention, though, that Brandon, as far as I know, had no substance abuse issues. He had no mental issues. He was a normal, well-adjusted kid.
Yeah, as far as I know, 19-year-old guy who went to a couple of parties and had a couple of drinks.
Yeah, exactly. So I have no evidence that he was smashed. When Brandon left Canby to go home to Marshall, he had a straight shot down Highway 68. You guys have seen the maps. Yeah, but he didn't do that. He took the back roads. I'm assuming that he did that to avoid the police because he had been drinking.
Yeah, that's really the only reason that you would do that.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
I've done it a time or two when I lived in kind of rural areas, and that was the only reason that I went on those back roads.
Oh, yeah,
and
me too.
Regretted it because it's easy to get lost.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And hindsight is 20/20, but he really should have taken the highway.
He should.
Yeah. I mean, if you're looking at Google, you can see the back roads that I'm talking about. And this is the countryside in this area is flat farmland. And it's divided into sections.
One-mile grids, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. There's squares that are 1 mile on a side, and all the roads pretty much go on those section lines.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a grid.
Yeah. And we should mention, on your phone, it's probably not going to show up.
Yeah.
This whole area.
Oh, zooming out to see the towns?
Yeah, you're not going to
be
able to see
it. Yeah, you don't have a big enough screen.
Yeah,
yeah,
just as a mention.
Yeah, but if you get on a big screen, you can see it quite well. And so Brandon, when he left Canby, we don't know exactly what route he took. He could have gone due east 9 miles, and then he could have turned right and gone due south 6.5 miles.
Or he could have gone in a stair-step fashion of some kind.
Exactly. He could have taken an infinite number of, well, maybe not infinite, but there's a whole lot of possibilities there. But he wound up essentially going south for 6.5 miles, and then he made a right turn and went west for 1 mile on a dirt road that went across the middle of one of these sections. And then he tried to turn left onto the Lyon-Lincoln County Road, left being south. But he screwed up. He turned it just a little bit too soon and drove into the ditch.
It seems like that would be pretty easy to do.
Because
his car wasn't, new, was it?
No.
So, if you have the, dimmer headlights and there's definitely not streetlights out there,
mm-hmm.
So it's going to be dark and, I've driven out in that kind of country and I think we all have. It's hard to judge where that dirt is road and where it's ditch.
And, if he made the mistake of trying to be covert and drive with just his low beams on instead of his high beams, or even if his high beams were, I've had the cars where the high beams are
still bad,
still terrible compared to every other car around.
Oh, yeah. Well, you don't know, too. I mean, again, he was taking the back roads. He actually, taking this route that he took, was actually going the opposite direction from where his objective was, which was Marshall.
Yeah.
And he might have had his lights off. He might have actually been maybe a pair of headlights showed up in his rearview mirror. And he decided to, take off down this dirt road and turn his lights off.
Oh,
that's
just
possible.
In case.
That's entirely possible.
God, that's really paranoid.
That is paranoid, yeah. I mean, again, Brandon would have been well served. He actually would have been much, much better off to have been pulled over by law enforcement and arrested for Dewey.
Yeah, if indeed he was that intoxicated.
Yeah, I don't even know if he was that smashed, but
so
he makes his turn, gets stuck in the ditch, and he pulls out his cell phone.
And what time was this?
This was 1:15 a.m. on the 14th of May. 14th of May.
Mm-hmm.
He started calling his friends, and nobody was picking up.
Duh.
And so they were probably all asleep, or maybe they were partying so hard and so loud they didn't hear their phones going off.
Maybe.
At 1:54 a.m., he called his parents.
Oh,
yeah.
That has just got to be...
That's just the call you want to get.
Humiliating is all, yeah.
You
have to do.
My brother, when he was in situations like that, would just call me. Because I was lame. I was a lame older sister and just was always
okay,
home.
Okay, all right,
I was asleep, but I'll come pick you up.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But sooner or later, when nobody else is picking up, you got to call the parents.
Mm.
And that's what he did. His parents are Brian and Annette Swanson. And by the way, they are still wondering what the hell happened to Brandon.
Yeah.
So, Brandon, if you're listening, please call home. Brian and Annette got into the family pickup truck, and they left to go find Brandon.
Now, he had committed some navigational errors.
Yeah, I was going to say, he probably wasn't super sure where he was.
Nah, he was way off. This is what doomed their rescue mission, because Brandon told them he was stuck just off Highway 23 near Lynd, between Lynd and Marshall.
Which is way farther south.
It's like 20 miles away.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this, to me, is one of the most truly puzzling things about this story, is that how he could possibly have believed that he was anywhere near Lynd when he was so far away.
So I thought about that, and I have an idea.
Really?
Okay, he knew how long it took to go from town A to town B on the highway. Let's just say 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So he's been driving on these dirt roads where he's got to go much slower and taking all these turns. And he's like, well, I've been driving for 30 or 40 minutes. I've got to be almost there.
Yeah.
Because I've made that same mistake because you don't think about the fact that you're not going in a straight line and you're going slower.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see how that is. But the other thing is that we are all spoiled today and we think, well, I know somebody's going to say this, well, why didn't he just look at his phone and see what the map said?
Uh-huh.
His phone wasn't capable.
It was a dumb phone. Yeah.
It was a Motorola Silver is what it was. I was reading about it, mm-hmm. and it didn't have that capability. It could hold MP3s and play music, but it didn't have that internet capacity that you'd have to have for doing doing maps.
Yes, it was a silver, not a silver. I had one.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, sorry. I just want to make sure
how
that
come you're
it
still
was
here.
The,
how come it ever disappeared?
Yeah, I don't know. It was. I mean, it was the flat version of the Razor.
Right.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. I think they call that style the candy bar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But
I thought it was the bread loaf. But
yeah.
Well,
that's good.
I guess I think also, you know, it's not as though there are street signs on those dirt roads, those back roads. And I bet he thought he just turned the wrong way.
Well, yeah, they said that all the roads all look the same in that area, and I can believe it. I mean, I've been on Street View, and I've looked around the area, and yeah, it's flat.
Well, that's funny as you say about the street signs is that I was reading on one site, and it was the funniest thing. It was some wiki, and this is what cracked me up, is that somebody had gone through and written the wiki, and somebody else had come back through and edited and put all of their responses to statements in italics.
Those snarky comments.
Yes.
Is that the one that I put out there?
Yeah, you sent that one to me.
Yeah,
it cracked me
like,
up because it says
funny.
There's no street signs. It says, yes, there are. They're everywhere. So it doesn't sound like it was completely unmarked. It probably wasn't every intersection, but it was probably a significant number of them.
Yeah,
should have given him some idea of where he was.
Unless he wasn't paying attention to street
which
signs,
is probably what it was.
He was going the right way.
No, it's entirely possible. But no, I mean, if he to wind up where he was, I could see where he would leave Canby and drive due east, but somehow in the mistaken belief that he was driving due south instead. And so that's entirely possible.
Yeah, it's totally possible out there.
But still, it's still kind of a mystery to me.
Yeah,
but
we should probably get back to...
But it doesn't really matter. It was a huge navigational error. But Brian and Annette, Brandon's parents, got into the vicinity of Lynn, which is only 6 miles away from their home in Marshall. So they got there
close drive.
Very quickly. They started driving up and down the side roads. Brian was driving. Annette was on the phone with Brandon, and they were flashing their headlights and saying, hey, can you see our headlights flashing? And Brandon was saying, no. Can you see my headlights flashing? He was still with the car at this point in time.
Which is 20 miles away.
Miles away.
No wonder you can't see them.
Obviously, not really surprising. Nobody saw the flashing headlights. At this point, Brandon was apparently getting a little snippy with his mom and losing patience. And so Brandon's dad, dropped his mom off at home and went back out to look for Brandon again. He called him at 2:23 a.m., and they were on a long phone call for 47 minutes. Brandon had, at this point, left the car.
Which is not something you should be doing, but...
Well, in this particular case, it probably wasn't a good idea. But he left the car, and his intention was to walk into the town of Lynd, which he still believed he was near. He was seeing glowing lights of a town nearby. The town, actually, I believe, was Porter.
I think that's correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it was Porter.
Or what's the other one that starts with a T?
Yeah, Taunton.
Taunton. It's one of those two he had to be seeing.
Yeah, well, he was headed towards Porter.
Well, he was,
Yeah, he was.
So he tells him to meet him at the tavern.
Yeah, he told his dad to meet him in the parking lot of the Lynwood Tavern in Lynd, which, by the way, is still there. If you do a little Googling on them, they still have a webpage.
But so. Street View won't let you go into the bar to look around?
No, it won't.
Why haven't they done that yet?
Yeah, I know.
You know that's why Pokemon Go exists, right? No, seriously.
I knew you would. I'm amazed it took this long to work Pokemon Go into the episode.
That's the whole reason that it exists is because Google wants to map the inside of buildings. And since, you know, you have to take video all the time and you upload it to the cloud, that's how they're mapping it.
Oh, really? And that's it?
Yep.
Oh, that makes sense.
That's devious.
That makes sense. I just want to say, and so tasteful that the Holocaust Museum is part of Pokemon Go.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Back to the story, though. What were we talking about? Brandon is out of the car, and he's heading towards what he thinks is the town of Lynd. which is in actuality the town of Porter. Mm-hmm. So he's walking down, according to his father, he was walking down a gravel road towards Lind. At the end, he said he was cutting across a field to save time. He mentioned that he came across two fences, which I assume he climbed over.
He had to have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He said there was water nearby, which I am assuming was the Yellow Medicine River, which kind of meanders all throughout the area. You guys have seen the aerials. And then at 3:10, Brandon said, "Oh, sh-" in an alarm tone, and the phone went dead. And that's the last time anybody heard from Brandon Swanson. So obviously, this set off a few alarm bells. The family kept searching all night, and they kept calling Brandon's phone, and the phone would ring several times, and then it would go to voicemail.
Which indicates that the phone was still on.
Apparently still on, but not necessarily 100% functional.
Not always. Because we've talked about this before, that a phone ringing doesn't necessarily mean that the phone is ringing.
Yeah,
the actual phone is ringing. Yeah,
exactly.
I want to make sure we talk about that because we'll bring something up in theories in a minute.
Yeah, but no, I mean, people have read a lot into that, though, because for about a day and a half, until about Thursday afternoon, the phone would ring several times and then go to voicemail. And then starting about late on Thursday, it stopped ringing. And when you call it, it would just go straight to voicemail, which most people have interpreted as the phone was still on and then the battery died. And at that point, it started going directly to voicemail.
Okay.
Which is actually a reasonable interpretation. But apparently, it does appear that the phone was not functioning.
And we don't know because that was never found, was Brandon.
Phone was never found. Okay. So we don't really know. He could have, when he his whole OS, I'll call it his whole OS moment. A lot of people have read that to be...
operating system moment?
Yeah, exactly. I've read that to be like, you know, he was walking along, cutting through this field, and then suddenly a serial killer popped up with a chainsaw. Nobody knows, really. Mm-hmm. We really don't know.
So they looked for Brandon, obviously.
Yeah, they did. The police were notified at 6:30 a.m. that Brandon was missing. One of the first things, of course, that they did is they checked with Brandon's cell provider, and they found out that when he was talking to his parents on the phone, he was connected to a cell tower in Mineota. And sorry, Minnesota residents, if I've mispronounced that, but Mineota, which is several miles southeast of Taunton, which is the town that he was closest to. And that was definitely not the cell tower he would have been accessing if he was anywhere near the town of Lind, which, as I've said already, was way far away.
Mm-hmm. So that's how they kind of... initial circle of where to search at.
Yeah, exactly. And so they focused their efforts on the area around Highway 68 to the northwest of Marshall. And at 12:30 p.m. on the day of the 14th, the sheriff's deputy did find Brandon's car in the ditch, but there was no Brandon. Initial efforts were made to find him using dogs. These were kind of inconclusive. The next day on Thursday, May 15th, they brought a bloodhound and used the bloodhound to track his trail from where he left the car.
And they gave the bloodhound something to get a scent from.
Apparently so, yeah.
Because the first dogs were just search without something.
Were they like cadaver dogs or something?
I don't know. I think they were actually tracker dogs, but they weren't bloodhounds, you know.
There's a difference between bringing a dog in and trying to have it track a scent and giving it a scent.
Right. And that's why my question is, like, why weren't they just doing that in the first place? Why did they have to wait for the bloodhound? But whatever.
I don't know. It might be
the hourly rate for that bloodhound is much higher.
Yeah, it's
because he knew Sherlock.
Yeah, not every county is going to necessarily have bloodhounds on hand. So, but anyway, they brought him in. The bloodhound tracked from the car, from where the car was, tracked his trail half mile south and then a mile west towards Porter, about a half mile north, and then he left the road and went across this. And this totally tracks with what his father said he was talking about. He was talking about walking down gravel roads, and then he left the road and cut across an abandoned farm and his track was basically parallel to the Yellow Medicine River. Which, by the way, is probably the most exhaustively searched river in human history. they have definitely scoured that river for his body.
And it's not really a river so much as
more of a
creek.
Although it's not something that high at that time.
Yeah, there would have been May. There's probably still some snow runoff or spring runoff, that kind of thing.
But we're not talking like a roaring 15 foot deep, 10 foot wide river. We're talking like a creek that you might get your feet up to the your knees? I mean,
well, it's one of those things where, you know, if you fall into it, you could definitely bash your head on a rock and mm-hmm. wind up with your face underwater and drown.
But it wouldn't also wash you away. Your body would probably be there.
It could. It's not a creek.
It could wash you a little ways, but it's like
not away forever is the question. I'm trying to.
Well, no, it's been characterized by locals as being more of a creek than a river.
Okay.
And so
I just want to clarify, it's not something that would just wash a human away
for hundreds of miles.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Well, at one point, the bloodhound, it followed his track through this field, and then at one point, it actually went to the Yellow Medicine River and jumped into the river, mm-hmm. which led people to believe that Brandon maybe had fallen in. But then it climbed back out of the river, and it picked up his track again, and his track went all the way up to 160th Avenue, which is, by the way, not an avenue. It's a gravel road, just like all the other gravel roads we've been talking about, and mm-hmm. we found a section line, and the trail ended at the road. So my theory is that Brandon was abducted by aliens.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
That makes total sense.
It totally does. Well, actually, no, there were no burn marks from their reactionless thrusters. And there were no crop circles, even though there were lots of crops nearby. And why would aliens not leave crop circles?
Exactly.
So, okay, let's discard that theory. But a more likely theory is the trail vanished because on the morning of May 14th...
This is why the trail ended at the road.
This is why possibly the trail ended at the road. There are other possibilities, but that particular road was regraded that morning.
Mm.
Yeah, bad timing.
Yeah, really bad timing. Yeah.
Was just that road regraded, or were more roads in the area? I never could find...
Yeah, I couldn't find exactly which ones were regraded. And so, I mean, obviously, if the other roads, like if the roads that the Bloodhound followed him on were also regraded, and that didn't erase his scent... Which is entirely possible. It's entirely possible you can come along and just sort of rearrange the gravel a little bit, mm-hmm. and it doesn't destroy the scent.
The only reason I was asking is because I was wondering if they were regrading everything in that area. How did the guy driving the grader not notice the car in the ditch? That's why I'm inclined to believe that only a few roads. Not they were doing the whole area.
Yeah, I don't know.
I've got to guess it was a local regrading, not the county or whoever.
Yeah, I really don't know, and it might very well be that the guy did notice the car in the ditch, and he actually called the sheriff's department and reported it.
Well, or maybe didn't even call. I mean, you grew up in a small town with ditches around. Did you every time you saw a truck in the ditch, did you call the cops and say, "Oh, there's a truck in this ditch," or did you just say,
property owners did.
Did they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's in
but
the ditch on your
weren't,
property.
Weren't a lot of the farms around there abandoned?
No.
Just the one
know.
That he,
it,
that it, he cut
it,
across?
It actually seems like it was mostly all being... There was that one abandoned farm that he cut across, but
that was the only
if
one.
At the time, I don't really know, mm-hmm. but it doesn't seem like there were that many abandoned farms. I mean,
I guess, it would be my inclination to say that, if it's a town where there's lots of college kids kind of driving through the area, you wouldn't necessarily... If you saw a car in a ditch, you woke up the next morning, you'd go, is there somebody in there? No? Okay, great, bye.
No.
They'll come for it.
It's not, somebody will take care of it. Obviously, people are motivated to retrieve their cars.
Yeah.
And if it's there 3 days later, well, then obviously you want to go out and pour lighter fluid on it
and burn it
on fire.
Yeah.
But,
or
yeah.
call a wrecker, one mm-hmm. of the two.
Yeah, something like that. Oh, where was I, though? So the search for Brandon has been going on ever since, and it's been a very intensive search. The last big push was in October 2015. A lot of people searched the Mud Creek area northwest of Porter, and I don't really know if Brandon would have made it that far. I don't know why he would have actually gone anywhere beyond Porter, but apparently some HRD dogs. And
HRD, is Mud Creek north
Mud
or
Creek
northwest
is, Mud
or,
Creek
or
is,
west of it, I should say?
Mud Creek is kind of hard to find on the map. It's kind of north of Porter.
Okay.
And
so he would have passed Porter.
Yeah. And the thought is, of course, the watershed for Mud Creek is much bigger than Mud Creek itself. They're thinking some HRD dogs and HRD, human remains detection dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there's a bloodhound, which can follow your scent, and then there's these other specially trained dogs that can smell a dead body. These HRD dogs have scented something in Mud Creek. So they're thinking somewhere in the Mud Creek watershed, there's a corpse. And so they've been searching it. And again,
And I know that part of the reason they were thinking that far is that they based the distance that a normal person can walk in a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
And then they created their whole area that they were going to look in based on that.
Yeah.
And that's how they got to it.
I think at some point, you just kind of say, well, okay, you know what? He could have walked if you're still looking, 10, 15 years later, you're not just saying, well, he would have stopped in Porter. So why didn't he stop in Porter? You know, mm-hmm. you're saying, I don't know. He could have walked to Wisconsin for all I know. And
you don't really know. I mean,
so you're going to start searching all that stuff, I think.
Yeah, but yeah, I don't doubt there probably is a corpse somewhere in that watershed. I don't know if it's Brandon or not, but apparently
it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, also at one point, and I'm not sure exactly when, but at some point more recently, much more recently than 2008, five different HRD dogs showed a very intense interest in a field cultivator, like a tiller, which is kind of gruesome to think about. But somebody, not necessarily even Brandon, but somebody apparently got tilled into the soil in one of those fields around there.
That's possible. There's a lot of things that get spread on fields for fertilizing. Mm-hmm. So it could very well be a combination.
Maybe somebody got thrown in the fertilizer. Or, I think I'm going to assume that the human remains detection dogs are smart enough and well-trained enough to only be detecting dead things, but it's possible that they just detect human, things like blood, like those things. Yeah. So like if somebody got their foot cut off on accident.
If there was a farm accident.
I got to say that, farm accidents are very, very common.
They are.
And they probably don't send the cultivator back to the factory to be sterilized.
No.
Somebody gets his arm torn off.
On the one hand, I do want to assume that the dogs would be smart enough to just ignore that. But also, I don't necessarily know why they would be smart enough to ignore that. I don't know what they're trained to react to.
So
it's possible
that
somebody got their arm pulled off, and that's way less gruesome somehow.
Yeah, well, it's still pretty gruesome.
Or even somebody just cut themselves while working on the piece of machinery.
I mean, it would have been probably a pretty big cut.
Yeah,
I don't know. I have cut my arm pretty badly, and though it wasn't a big scarring wound, it was a bleeder. And so I bled everywhere as I was trying to staunch the flow. So then I can see something like that.
Again, I guess I just assume that it's more than blood that those dogs are detecting.
And that's an assumption that it's hard to say is that correct or not. That's all I'm saying.
Well, okay. I'm not going to get into all the details of all the searches. There's been a lot of them. And again,
it seems like almost one or two a year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Since he disappeared.
Yeah. And as I said again, the Yellow Medicine River is everybody's favorite theory. He fell into the river, and that's been thoroughly scoured. And I'm pretty sure he didn't fall into the river. But let's talk about our theories about what happened. First theory is that Brandon fell into the Yellow Medicine River and drowned. And people on various websites have sort of said that, maybe he got swept downstream, his body got pinned under a rock, and that's why it's never been found. But there's a few problems with this that I have. Of course, as I just said, the river has been very, very thoroughly searched.
Right.
And the HRD dogs, again, human remains detection dogs, have sniffed the river, and they haven't picked up any trace of a body in the river. And at his OS moment, he was close to the river, but the river at that place, if you look at the area, you can see this. It's actually lined with trees and brush and underbrush and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so...
Because you can't farm up to the bank of any body of water.
Yeah, no. And Brandon's objective was to reach 160th Avenue as quickly as possible. That's why he took his shortcut. And that's when he had his OS moment.
He was cutting across the field to head towards the light that he saw in the distance, not necessarily the road. He didn't know where 168th was exactly.
160th? Well, he knew it was up there.
Yeah, but if he decided to cut across the field, he said, screw this, I'm tired of going up and, up and left, up and left. So I'm just going to go straight towards it. So he could have been heading that direction
He wouldn't go into the trees, though, is my point.
But did he know that 160th was up there? He thought he was in a totally different place.
He didn't know what road was up there. That's why I'm saying he was heading towards the light of the town that he saw in the distance.
Yeah, and
he didn't know what road. He didn't care what road because his idea was cut across this crap.
Now but Brandon made the quite reasonable. He'd walked a half mile up this road before he cut across the field. He made the quite reasonable assumption that, again, these roads are every mile on the section lines. He made the reasonable assumption that there was a road right over there, and he cut across that field. And again, why would he go into the woods and tumble into the river when...
Why wouldn't he?
Why wouldn't he? Because going into the woods is not part of the mission. His mission was to get to the next road.
But he doesn't know what's in the woods. He doesn't know if it's just a is it copse or corpse of trees?
Copse of trees.
He doesn't know if it's just because it's pitch black. Mm. There's no moon at this point.
Yeah, the moon
is set. He's legally blind in one eye, so his depth perception is really poor.
Yeah, no.
He has no idea what's in there. So you're looking at a map and saying, well, obviously he had to be doing this, but he could have had no idea and thought, that's a little bunch of trees. I'll just go through it.
I feel like every reason that you just gave is a reason for him to not go in there because he doesn't know. I mean, because he doesn't know what's through there. And if I know anything, it's that when you start cutting through trees, you're no longer walking in a straight line.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
There's stuff in your way.
And his track mostly paralleled the Yellow Medicine River. It didn't really intersect it, so, except the dog did run over and jump in the river. So that made everybody think he jumped. Mm-hmm. He fell into the river, but I don't see why he would have.
So here's the thing. Joe is forgetting something, and you haven't had this experience, which is being a peeved-off 19-year-old dude mm-hmm. who just says, F it, I know what I'm doing, I'm going there, nothing's getting
in
my way.
Well, and I guess that is the other truth, is that if he was walking down it for so long, he was walking parallel to it, and he was like, oh my God, I'm never going to find a bridge.
To hell with this. I've made these kind of decisions as a very young man, and they were very dumb.
Well, yeah.
And he could have just said, you know what, I can make it. He's overconfident in his abilities to navigate through it in the dark.
Possible.
I don't think he's in the river, but I am using that as a reason to say that he may not have just been going up to 168. He may have actually thought to cross the water.
It's fair.
He might have. I mean, I think that would be a dumb move. Personally.
I agree.
I tend to trust the bloodhound. I mean, I think the bloodhound probably tracked him. And so that would suggest that he also did not perish in the river, that he crossed the river.
The bloodhound's track, it appears to me, from what I have read, and you guys have read the same stuff that I've read. Mm-hmm. He was tracked all the way to the road, 160th Avenue. He was tracked all the way there. So whether he made a little side trip to the river or not, I'm not really sure. There's some thinking that he might have fallen into the river, gotten soaked, and then gotten back out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that would also explain the phone a little bit, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, there's the potential that it got wet enough that the ringer and screen were no longer working, but it was still, you know, quote unquote.
Yeah, it was still sort of ringing. Sort of working, but it wasn't functional in the sense of
it wasn't ringing.
He had no idea, and he couldn't see who
he
was.
He thought it died.
Yeah.
You know.
So as far as falling into the river goes, all the evidence suggests that he made it to 160th Avenue. So from that point, there were only two other places where he could have fallen into the river. There was a culvert about half a mile, three-quarters of a mile down the road. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming, and I think it's fair to assume this, that he continued westward on 160th. So there was a culvert where the river passed under the road. He could have fallen in there. I don't think he did because it's like when you're walking on a gravel road, you kind of know when you're getting off the road because you stop hearing that crunchy sound that your feet are making. So even if he was completely blind, you know, and completely unable to see in the dark, he still could have made his way just by the noise and the texture of the. And so I don't think he fell into that culvert. And then the next place was just right outside the town of Porter. There's a bridge there. I assume you guys have seen it on the aerials.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the bridge would be really, it's got a guardrail and everything like that. So that'd be kind of impossible.
And again, it's reasonable to trust the bloodhound's tracking, probably.
That's
where it went. So we don't think he fell and drowned.
So we don't think he fell into the river and drowned. Yeah. Another theory is that Brandon fell and he was knocked unconscious and died from exposure. And it was a bit chilly out. It was 46 degrees Fahrenheit, which, by the way, is about 8 degrees centigrade.
You're welcome.
Yeah. But Brandon was actually dressed for cool weather. I mean, he wasn't dressed for freezing cold, but he had on a T-shirt, a polo shirt over that, and also a hoodie sweatshirt. So, I mean...
That's enough.
You think that was enough?
Yeah, I mean, if he was soaking... If he had indeed fallen into the river...
Yeah.
And was soaking wet in cold water...
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, came out and was walking and then fell and got knocked unconscious.
yeah.
and was really out cold, yeah, he that would have, yeah, that's a reasonable assumption to make. But if we're saying he was dry and walking in a hoodie, I mean, I think that's enough.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's not, it's not going to be comfortable, but you're not going to die of hypothermia.
Oh, no, not at all. And of course, if he was knocked unconscious, well, where's the body?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have an idea on that.
Yeah.
We already talked about this, is that the road got graded. So if it's a crappy road before they grade it, typically what you'll do is drive along pouring gravel, and then you grade it, and the shoulder always grows. The shoulder of the road, because there's always excess gravel getting shoved over.
Uh-huh.
So if he's right on the shoulder, he could have been buried. Now, why the dog didn't find him, I know, so don't give me the look.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
he could have been buried in extra gravel.
Well, for me, it's more than that. It's been a really long time. I'm sure that road has been, like, all the gravel's been stripped off it and regraded, and they've done a lot of stuff to that road.
Off the shoulders?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I'm sure that it's moved around enough that if there were a body of a 19-year-old man in there, it would have been exposed.
I'm saying this is another way. People always say, well, you know, this couldn't have happened. Mm-hmm. Well, but technically it could have. It probably didn't, because it hasn't been discovered yet.
Yeah. I mean, there's all kinds of problems with the whole he fell and died of exposure, which is that he, no matter where he fell, he would be like right in plain sight.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's some ways that people maybe could have missed it. But
With the amount of dogs they've used in this search, I don't think they would have missed it. At this point, a dog would have found it.
Yeah.
Even if he was kind of hidden, you know, or like in some brush or, you know, under gravel, I think they've used enough body detection dogs that they would have been found. He would have been found.
I think so. And there's other things too. It's like, you know, we've all discussed hypothermia before and how people like get this delusional feeling that they're too warm. They start stripping their clothes off and stuff. And that didn't happen here apparently.
Well, but he would have been unconscious.
Oh yeah. Well,
so he wouldn't have been stripping his clothes off.
Yeah, well, I mean, there are other theories, and that is that he was freezing cold because he was wet, and he was suffering from hypothermia, not quite right in the head, and he crawled into a hidey hole. He crawled underneath an outbuilding in a farm.
Again, I think dogs.
Dogs would have found it, probably.
Or humans, I mean.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, another theory, and this is very popular, is that he fell into a well or a cistern.
And this was the first thing I thought of.
Yeah, and those things are out there, but they've been checking every cistern, every well, every basement, every coal chute in the area. That they know of. There could be ones out there that they don't know of.
And that's what I was thinking is that it's a poorly covered one. He falls in, and then within weeks, the vegetation covers up that hole again.
Yeah, that's possible.
That's possible. I actually spent a lot of time on the map looking for those kind of things.
Yeah, yeah, but the thing about it is if that was his OS moment, he's walking through that field and suddenly he falls into a well, and if it were me, I wouldn't be going, oh sh-. I'd be going, I would scream. I mean, I don't know what you guys would do.
I mean, I think
the falling motion would be where you had your OS moment.
Yeah. That's always my
fall.
Yeah, and I, you know, when I trip, I go, oh sh-.
Yeah.
Or oh.
Yeah.
Or, you know, God bless America or whatever. Yeah. But, you know, that's all my initial reaction to things like that is to go, oh, something.
Yeah.
Not to
scream.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it was.
So, you know, if he goes, oh, but... and then drops the phone, it goes dead. And then he's like,
hey, well, that's also saying that down. He falls into something that is a mile deep.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Is he not?
I don't know.
It could be something that was several feet down.
So I don't know. And I've not been able to find out what his exact tone of voice was, whether it was like, oh, shoot. Or was it, oh, shoot. Or was it, oh, shoot. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what his tone exactly it was.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah. So the open well of cistern, I'll have more to say about that later, why I don't believe he did.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think he did. Another theory is that he just broke his phone, and actually his OS moment, his oh shoot moment, was actually not any huge crisis.
He fell into the river, got it wet, and then...
Yeah, or like a serial killer didn't show up with a chainsaw. It wasn't that. It's like, it's more like he tripped over something or he stepped in a cow pie, you know, something like that. But he continued walking. His phone wasn't working, but he died of hypothermia later. But if he did make it to 160th, and all evidence indicates that he did, then he would have passed a farmhouse. You guys have seen the aerials, I'm assuming. There's a farmhouse. They're just like, I don't know, less than a mile down the road. I have to assume he was continuing west. He would have passed that farmhouse. They probably wouldn't have been thrilled to be woken up at 3:30 or so in the morning, but it's better than dying. It's better than freezing to death.
Yeah.
If he was truly in a crisis. There's other theories out there. One is, of course, this one always comes up in these disappearances. He ran away to join the circus. He started a new life.
And I think yes.
Yeah, he's living on a farm with Dorothy.
I think
Arnold,
no, he was a terrible juggler.
Yeah.
You circus wouldn't have taken him.
Yeah. You think so?
No.
Okay.
I have no idea.
So you guys aren't liking this theory?
No.
You
never
like
do.
Yeah.
What's the next one?
Oh, there's, of course, alien abduction. What do you guys think?
There's no proof. Mm. Was there, like, crop circles?
No, there weren't.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is just another one to be fun.
Yeah.
No.
No. And then another one, and this is always, it's always stressed when you read the web pages about him. It's all, law enforcement always stresses that there's no evidence of foul play.
Well, there's no evidence in general.
There's no evidence. Well, yeah, there's no evidence of any of these things. As far as like hypothermia, drowning,
right.
There's absolutely no evidence falling into a cistern. There's no evidence for anything. There's some variations on the foul play theory. This is just in my head. So what if Brandon actually did stop at that farmhouse that I was mentioning a minute ago and knock on the door, but the farmer turned out to be a serial killer?
The Bloody Benders live there?
Yeah, could have been. Yeah, so oopsie. So he did a lot of walking for nothing.
Yep.
Or an alternative theory is that the farmer was a very suspicious, paranoid type, and he shot Brandon to death because there's a guy on your property,
yeah,
at 3:34 in the morning,
stumbling around and being weird.
Yeah, and so he might maybe shot him to death, and then maybe thought about it and thought, maybe I should like hush this up a little bit. And
put him underneath the grain silo.
Yeah, he buried him somewhere. And actually, in the aerial of the farm, there is a spot that's a little bit greener.
No.
Yeah. Okay, I'm just kidding. But I don't think that's what happened. But that's possible. Another possibility is that Brandon made it all the way to the town of Porter, which I think he might just have done. But the town was all rolled up and nothing was open. And I have no idea if there was a phone booth or any kind of public phone in Porter at that time.
I don't know. It's hard to tell.
2008. I mean, now phone booths are almost all gone. There's still one that I know of down on like 12th.
Yeah, there's not many of them.
You know the one I'm talking about?
No, but it doesn't matter.
It's a weird, lonely little phone thing. In this vacant lot. But anyway, I looked on Street View. I didn't see anything resembling a public phone.
But maybe in 2008 there were.
Maybe there was. Yeah.
Or, a bar. If an 18-year-old kid stumbles into a bar and says, I crashed my car in a ditch 3 miles back. I walked here. My phone is dead. Can I use your phone to call my parents? You're probably going to say, yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
sure.
No, for sure. But I mean, it was like 4 a.m. at least by the time you got to Porter. So I doubt that there was any bar open.
Yeah, that's fair.
No.
Yeah. But at the same time, there is a cafe in Porter. And I'm assuming the cafe would have opened at, what do you think, 6, 7 a.m?
Something like that.
Yeah.
5 or 6.
Sometimes. Yeah. In farmland, usually like 4 or 5, usually.
Yeah. So you could have just hung out and just waited for them to open, got a cup of coffee and used their phone. I mean, I just don't know. And of course, I'm making a lot of assumptions here.
Yeah.
About, we don't know. Between the time that he got onto 160th and whatever else happened, we have no idea.
Well,
it could have been that a serial killer just showed up in a pickup truck on 160th right there where
Jason in the hockey mask.
Yeah, and it could have been. But I know, this is why I totally don't believe he fell into a cistern or a well, and that is we know he got to 160th.
No, we don't.
Yeah, we do. The dog says so.
We're reasonably sure that
we'll say that. We're reasonably sure.
Okay. I trust those dogs a lot, but when it comes to this and we have no trail other than what the dogs find, and it comes for naught, that's when I stop relying on it so strongly.
Yeah.
Because then it widens the area that he could have gone.
I got to say, I am taking the word of one dog for all this. And so I hope that dog...
And that dog could be a liar.
I hope that dog ain't making a fool of me.
It was the dog.
Yeah.
The dog did
it. Yeah, yeah. But here's...
Serial bloodhound.
But here's the reason. I'm sure he didn't fall into the river. I don't think he had any reason to go near the river. That area where they tracked him, where the dog tracked him all the way to 160th, well, obviously that was intensively searched. If there were wells or cisterns or anything else in that field, then they would have found his body in there.
This is why I have such a problem with the dog trail, is that based on it, they have scoured that area.
Yeah, they have.
I mean, he couldn't be laying dead in a field because nothing was growing at that time. They had planted, but it wasn't as if the grass was 3 feet high, so you would see the body.
Well, I guess I just don't know why, you know, we keep saying, well, the road was graded and he walked up the road. Like, why is it not that somebody was driving down the road and said, hey, I saw you crash. Let me give you a ride into town.
And then, you know.
And then turned out to be not a nice person.
Turned out to be a serial killer.
Yeah.
I feel like that's such an easy theory.
That is, I strongly believe that this was a case of foul play.
Yeah.
And then they took him in a completely different direction.
Yeah. I don't see it.
He had no idea where he was anyway. So.
Right.
Yeah, he did.
He could have maybe been giving them directions and they were just like,
yeah, they could have said, oh, no, that's actually this town and you want to go to that town? Let's go this way. And then just taking him for the last ride of his life.
I think so, yeah. I don't see any other explanation for it, really. I mean, he made it. There's no reason to believe that he didn't make it to 160th. And from there, there's no reason for him to leave the road. He would have stayed on the road all the way to Highway 68 and then Highway 68 to Porter. So,
As Steve was talking about, you know, the brain of a 19-year-old who's, you know, probably... actually just coming off of, I don't know, I'm sure you guys remember, you know, there's those times where you get like a little drunk or tipsy and then you're awake for so long that you start to get hungover and you get real grumpy.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he was at that point by then and he'd been lost for a really long time and he'd been walking and he was tired and he was just like mad because his parents said,
we're here.
He's just frustrated and he thinks he's invincible and a car, you know, he just puts a thumb out, car's going by.
Yeah.
Who drives around the middle of nowhere in the middle of the night?
No,
serial killers and farmers.
Yeah, so it's entirely possible. In fact, I think it's probable.
All right, so it's a serial killer farmer.
It doesn't have to be serial killer, though.
Farmer.
Just somebody with bad intentions.
It could be, but, you know, and that might be the solution to this case, is that one of these days, who knows, somebody might nab a serial killer who operates in the Minnesota area, and he might actually fess up to the whole thing. I mean, who knows?
Or she.
Oh, good point. Well, okay. You guys have any more theories?
Nope.
No? Yeah. I think we pretty much solved this one, except for who actually did it. Oh, well.
I don't know that we'll ever know who.
Yeah.
But we might know what happened to him.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a bummer.
Yeah. Kind of is.
Yeah.
But I do think that you guys can stop scouring the countryside. By all means, identify that corpse that's in Mud Creek. But other than that...
Yeah, find out where that's at.
Yeah, find that out. I don't think it's Brandon, really.
Mm-mm.
Since we're at the end of the episode, it's time for just a little... it's time for some admin stuff. Our website, if you don't know it already, it's thinkingsidewayspodcast.com. And we're also on iTunes, of course. And so if you find us on iTunes, of course, subscribe. Leave a review and a rating, and obviously the better the rating, the better we like you. So yeah,
true story.
Yeah, we can.
Totally a sliding scale.
Oh yeah, you can also stream us. You know, there's Stitcher and Google Play and God knows what else. There's tons of that stuff out there. We're on Facebook. We've got a group and a page, so join the group. And we're on Twitter, where we are Thinking Sideways without the G. And there is a subreddit, Thinking Sideways. So get out there and, you know, post all sorts of stuff, preferably not nasty stuff.
Yeah.
And, of course, you can email us, and we like to get emails. No, not nasty emails. But if you have suggestions or thoughts, you know.
But also if you have feedback.
And critique, yeah. When I say nasty, I mean sending us weird stuff.
No, we've gotten all kinds of constructive, I think, criticism from people, and that's good. That's not a problem. Just don't be a jerk.
Yeah,
you know?
Constructive might be a loose term for some of the stuff.
Yeah, well, some of it's not so. Yeah, most of it's good though. Some people have called in and just sort of like impishly reminded us that, hey, you mispronounced this.
Especially we know.
And most of those emails come, not surprisingly, from Britain. But anyway, our email is thinkingsidewayspodcast@gmail.com. And last of all, of course, if you want to support us, and obviously you do, there is Patreon, patreon.com/thinkingsideways. You can pledge a certain amount of money, 50 cents, a buck, whatever, but just be aware it's per episode. So you're going to get dinged for whatever you pledge every time we run an episode. So just keep that in mind. You can pledge as much as you want. There's other ways, of course, to support us. We have merch. Go to our website, and you can buy mugs and T-shirts and all kinds of cool stuff. We don't have guns up yet, do we?
Never.
Mm-mm. No, no guns yet? Okay. Yeah, thinking sideways gun. I kind of like that.
No. Not happening, dude.
Yeah, yeah. What else? There's PayPal. You can also, for a one-time donation, have do the whole PayPal thing. That's totally optional, of course, but if you feel like it, hey.
And thank you for everyone who has donated, and those who are doing the continuing donations. We did greatly appreciate it.
It is. Totally. Anyway, that's about it for this week. I'm hoping that Brandon, one of these days, there'll be a little resolution of this. I think it's entirely possible there will be.
Yeah, me too.
And it's entirely possible there never will be. I don't know. Anyway, so until next week, toodaloo, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Bye.